It's the Nachum Segal Network. Welcome to this week's edition of By the Book, brought to you by our friends at the Koren Publishers. This week we get an opportunity to check out something that's a Magid book. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed is responsible for the Panine Halacha part of the Panine Halacha section known as Laws of Shabbat. I think that's a way to put it. Our guests will certainly help us put it even better. Laws of Shabbat, Volume 1 and Volume 2 are out and are available to the public. Elie Fisher is with us. He's the series editor. Yocheved Cohen is the translator. And we get an opportunity to speak about Laws of Shabbat as the scribe, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, here at the Nachum Segal Network. Elie Fisher, a pleasure to welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. When it says series editor, that means the Shabbat series or in general Pnei Halacha series?
The Pnei Halacha in English.
How many have there been? How many Pnei Halacha English subjects have been covered?
This is the fourth volume under my editorship, fifth volume total.
Very nice. And we have Yocheved Cohen with us. Yocheved, welcome to the show. You translated what Rabbi Melamed said, I assume, into English.
Yes, correct, on Hilchot Shabbat.
And
that was the first of the series that I was involved with.
And I can imagine that it's not easy. I mean, I'm not sure how Rabbi Melamed, I'm not sure how Rabbi Melamed's Hebrew or halachic language is, but I can only imagine that it's not the easiest project.
Well, that'd be correct, but I will say that he is able to take sophisticated material and some complicated ideas and to present it in fairly clear, straightforward, readable text that's also very practical and down-to-earth, which is probably one of the reasons that many of the high schools here, the religious Zionist high schools, use his text as their halachic text in school.
So there is some, I don't know, what would we call it, simplicity, organization? What would we call it that would appeal to the younger people?
Well, there's accessibility, organization. It's designed to be user-friendly. All of the above.
Right.
I'm going to jump in here and point out that it's not just the younger people. It's certainly not written specifically for young people. It's becoming a standard set. Pnei Halacha in Hebrew has 15 volumes, and they're celebrating now the sale of their 500,000th volume.
Wow.
So it's becoming what I like to call it the Dati Le'umi Shulchan Aruch, the National Religious Shulchan Aruch. And it's between the organization and just the way that he's the way that he introduces the material. He always goes from broader concepts to more to the more specific detail, it's just really well written, which is part of the challenge of rendering it into English, is sort of capturing his clarity and his organization in the English language. It's been very difficult to find translators. Yocheved is outstanding, and I can't tell you how many we went through before we found Yocheved.
Interesting. Elie Fisher, series editor, Yocheved Cohen, translator with us. Was this essentially the goal of Panine Halacha? I mean, now that there's so many volumes available, did it sort of, evolve into what you just described, or this was the goal from the very beginning?
I think it evolved into that. I don't think Rav Melamed set out to write a Shulchan Aruch. What it started out as, his parents, specifically his mother, is the founder of Arutz Sheva. Back when it was an actual radio station,
right.
And he had a section, right? He had like a radio bit called Pnine Halacha, where he would just take a certain halachic concept and sort of present it in a clear way. And it became a very popular segment. This is going back 20-something years ago. It became a popular segment. And then it became a segment in the B'Sheva weekly newspaper, right? He had his halachic corner. And at a certain point, he took a lot of his columns and compiled them into books. Those were the Likutim, which are, you know, it's just collected subjects that he addressed in halacha. And it was their popularity that sort of spurred him to take it further. I mean, this is what he is. This is what he does. He's a community rav. He's just got a great deal of practical wisdom and common sense, and it's very much apparent in the way that he works through halachic material.
As we continue with Elie Fischer and Yocheved Cohen, let's point out that Rabbi Eliezer Melamed is one of the most widely read Torah educators in Israel today. He's rabbi of the Har Bracha community, head of its Hesder Yeshiva. His Panina Halacha, as you heard, over 300,000 copies sold in Hebrew, is used as a textbook by many Israeli schools, and in 2013 he received the prestigious Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook Prize for Jewish Creativity. Elie Fischer, there are so many classic works on Shabbos. I mean, if we go through the history of, Hilchos Shabbos, we will find, you know, I don't know exactly how many, but I would guess in the hundreds, if not thousands, of different compendium that have to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Are there specific ones that Rabbi Melamed has gleaned from? Are there a couple that, you know, where it's obvious that he either follows or continues the directive of certain rabbis or authors who came before him?
That's an interesting question. Are you asking in terms of general approach, or are you asking, you know, in the foot, who appears most often in the footnotes?
Yeah, I think both. I'm asking both.
In terms of general approach, I think the best comparison might be Aruch HaShulchan. Somebody who writes, you know, in an organized way, moving from general to specific, and who is, takes an approach that's very, he has the Bala bust in mind.
Right.
So who he quotes most often? Gosh. I mean, probably Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa, but he quotes hundreds of Svarim. I made a spreadsheet of it. He's got hundreds and hundreds that he quotes.
All right, so no one specific that that you could say he's either following in their footsteps or trying to, popularize, you know, more their halachic position. It could be anybody, depending on what the issue of Shabbos is.
Yeah, I mean, he's very practically focused, meaning issues that don't really come up much today, he just doesn't address them. And, you know, on the other hand, the issues that are of relatively recent vintage, and specifically in Israel, right? Like, what are the halachos of, taking an ambulance or driving an ambulance or, you know, breaking Shabbos in order to go to the hospital? And what are the different factors, and what are the different, what should be the thought processes? That's what he devotes a lot of time to.
And that would be because I assume those are the most pressing, you know, issues of the day as compared to things that we may be familiar with from hundreds or even thousands of years already.
Exactly.
Yeah, that I understand. In the introduction to the book, and it goes into, you know, preparing for Shabbos and Shabbat times and lighting Shabbat candles, Torah study on Shabbos, Kiddush, and just goes through what seems to us the entire order of Shabbat. The introduction deals with a lot of very interesting topics, including the temple was destroyed on account of Shabbat desecration. Now, we, as traditionalists, have heard, you know, many accounts and different people tell us about why we've lost our holy temple. I don't remember this being among the most popular reasons.
Well, that could be. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure it's very well sourced. And again, I mean, I don't think he's trying to say that this is the definitive reason why the temple was destroyed. I think what he's trying to say is that, you know, the fact that you have statements, you know, from the ancient rabbis, from Chazal, that say things like that the temple was destroyed on account of Chilul Shabbat, I think that itself just gives opens a window into what they thought about it, right? For example, Sinat Chinam, which we do know, baseless hatred.
Right.
So we often talk about that as being the reason for the destruction of the Second Temple. And whether you believe that that's the reason that the Second Temple was destroyed or not, or we believe one of the other reasons, I think that it's very clear that it's saying that baseless hatred is a really, really terrible thing that can destroy society. So when it comes to Shabbat, it's obviously a different category of prohibition, and you would have to ask him what exactly he means. But when he thinks Chazal meant when they said that, but the idea being that somehow the desecration of Shabbat erodes Jewish society, Jewish civilization, to the point where it no longer can.
I'm having a little trouble with your phone line. Eli Fisher and Yocheved Cohen are with us, a series editor and translator, Panine Halacha, Laws of Shabbat, Volumes 1 and 2. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed is responsible for it. Panine Halacha is published by Magid Books, a division of the Venerable Jerusalem Publishing House, Koren Publishers, Jerusalem. Magid Books offers new approaches to Jewish texts and themes from the world's leading rabbis, scholars, and philosophers. The series is translated by Yocheved Cohen and edited by Eli Fisher. Are some areas easier, more, I don't know, are the more philosophical or more halachic areas easier to translate Yocheved, or just one very difficult project trying to translate this all into English?
Well, each thing has its own, the things that are easier or harder, but I actually wanted to go back a bit to the question where you talk about what does Rav Melamed contribute. There have been a lot of books, and also the question, in the introduction, the material he gives there. One of the things I think that he does much more than most of the books is to try to give a philosophical understanding as well as just the technical laws, to give the forests as well as the trees, which may also be why it's particularly popular, because people now are often looking for more spirituality as well as just the do's and don'ts. And that's something that he has incorporated. So those sections, in terms of translating them, will be demand a little bit more in terms of stylistic things. You need to bring across, it's more poetic. The prose or poetry is more demanding in that sense. You want a flavor of what he's saying to convey the ideas behind it. On the other hand, there aren't halachic ramifications, so the translator is a little bit more free to convey the idea without worrying, if each word is correct or that someone's going to draw an incorrect, inference from it and therefore, be mechalel Shabbat. So that makes, the pros and cons of each type.
So with that theme in mind, and this question I guess would then be for either of you, when he discusses Shabbos times, for instance, and we know the concept of Tosefet Shabbat, how one goes ahead and does so, and why they might do so, and the laws pertaining to those who have already accepted Shabbat when others may not have, you're saying it's not just a halacha component, there's a philosophical component of how to deal with that as well.
Yeah, in some of the areas. I mean, one thing that struck me, when I work as a translator, so I'm not studying the material as, I would be if I were taking smicha exams or something, but still, there's processing that goes, is that he talks about the philosophical importance behind conceptually of Borer. Now, people who have studied Hilchot Shabbat know that Borer is a very difficult area, and often things are not clear, and it's full of disagreements, and categorizing things is a little up for grabs. It can be frustrating. And I think recognizing that, he discusses it, that, well, Borer is important because in life it's important to distinguish and to distinguish between good and evil. And sometimes they come all mixed up because life is complex. And it just was eye-opening. It was an approach that said, oh, okay, you know, hear something more than just, well, how small are the pieces and how was it done, etc., but something that says, no, the whole concept of separating is significant. So,
Ellie, anything you want to add on that?
No, I think Yocheved just hit a home run.
There you go. Ellie Fisher and Yocheved Cohen are with us. We're talking about Laws of Shabbat, Volumes 1 and 2, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. It's called the Penina Halacha Series. What are the other, Ellie, what are the other volumes that are included in Penina Halacha, and which ones are the really, really popular ones in Israel?
I can't list all 15 offhand. The ones that have appeared in English in this series, in this sort of reboot of the series, you now have two volumes of Hilchot Shabbat, which are hot off the press. You have Hilchot Pesach, and you have laws of what's called Tfilat Nashim, women's prayer. And we also have a volume on it's called Hilchot Tfilah. I suppose it should be called men's prayer, but it's called laws of prayer.
How was the women's prayer one received?
By who?
In general, yeah.
It was received, actually. I remember discussing this with some of the people at Koren. They were nervous. When you deal with women's issues, when a man deals with women's issues, it's he's at risk of becoming a lightning rod. And I remember, you know, we went through some of the, what I would call the hot button issues about, about women in prayer, women and making a mezumin. Can a woman say Kaddish? Can a woman put on tefillin or talit, etc.? And he addresses them, and he addresses them head on. And personally, I think that his approach is a refreshing one. He doesn't play games with slippery slopes. He doesn't play games with he tells you what's mutter. He tells you what's usser. And if he thinks something is a bad idea, he'll tell you it's a bad idea. When it comes to Kaddish, I remember this fairly well offhand. What he says about Kaddish is that there are some communities. There are two types of communities where you can see permitting a woman to say Kaddish. One is a very, very strong community when there's no sense that, you know, a woman saying Kaddish, it's because she's trying to, you know, to change the basic structure of Jewish prayer. And then there are other communities where it might not be so well understood, or it might not be so accepted, you know, if women are excluded from that. In those two communities, you can see saying, you know, permitting a woman to say Kaddish. There are other communities where he said that he would, you know, you would imagine that he would be disinclined. And he concludes by saying that really it's up to the local Mara D'Atra, the local rabbi has to make a decision on this, because in order to make such a decision, you really have to have intimate knowledge of the community and of the people involved.
Interesting. I like that. I know it's not fair because you don't have the volume in front of you, but I'm curious about websites and other ways that today people either make money or keep their commerce going on Shabbos. Did he address those issues that we would call real 21st century issues?
Yes.
and
he does.
What could you tell us about that? I mean, what type of approach does he use to a question like that?
Well, there's a section on Maaseh Shabbat. Now, as I said, I don't study the materials as I go so well, so I'm more able to say, oh, yes, this is discussed, and can't give all of the bottom lines. It's nuanced, as most of his things are. Obviously, there are differences when you are in Chutz Laaretz, and the assumption can be that most people are not Jewish, whereas in Israel, you know, that eases things somewhat. And a lot of the classic, halachic rules that you go into is, are you directly supporting something? Is it indirect? Are there other ways around it? He has an entire section on it. So you can read the book and find out.
That's true.
I recall it's a very long footnote. I think that he's generally permissive, if I recall correctly, and please, I don't have it in front of me. This is based on memory. Since the relationship that most people have with, when you buy something online, you're usually buying it. You're buying it with a credit card. When you buy something with a credit card, the vendor doesn't get the money right away. The vendor will get the money, you know, after a amount of time, like at the end of a month or something like that. Visa will make one payment to the vendor. That being the case, you can say that something is what's called mouvla, right? You can always ask the question, you know, most of the work that rabbis do is on Shabbos. So how is it that rabbis can draw a salary for what they do on Shabbos? And the answer is that the Shabbos is mouvla, meaning a rabbi doesn't do only work on Shabbos. So what since it's something that spans Shabbos, but also other times, so the Shabbos is absorbed into the longer time span. And so you can make a similar case here that, you know, the website will run, right? And you're getting paid by the credit card company. And what you make on Shabbos is mouvla into the other income. I could be completely remembering that wrong, but that seems to stick in my mind. Yocheved might remember better.
And what about the issues that, you know, we are not as familiar with in this part of the world, fighting wars on Shabbat and commanding officers and what they can and cannot do during wartime and during normal time, and a lot of common army questions. I assume these are some. I assume some of those are issues that he has no choice but to discuss. Am I right?
Yes. He has sections on that, and actually, again, going to what he contributes is there is a Israeli reality and a Zionistic reality, if you will, and he both includes things. Although there are also some monographs here about, you know, what soldiers can and can't do, but he has a whole section in general, and if it's a time of war, and if it's not a time of war, and what kind of Chilul Shabbat, and a lot of things also that are very practical for just your regular person serving in an army in terms of Hotza'ah in an army base on Shabbat, how to minimize issues, what you can do, what you can't, Eruvim, things like that. So he has a lot of that. And what he also has that's maybe more Israeli and also touches on a question you asked earlier about what sources he draws on is that he actually says this explicitly too, that one of the things that Panini Halacha is doing is incorporating a lot more of the halachic traditions of the non-Ashkenazic groups. So he makes a real point to include, we call it Eidot HaMizrach, which Americans call everyone Sephardi, but the Temanim, the Yemenites, so that his book also can be used, his works, for all of the different groups. And he really doesn't have one Rebbe that he follows specifically. He draws on a very wide group, and to some degree that may be also an advantage when compared to Shmirat Shabbat, which is a wonderful work, and which is, Ellie said, it, we have, you know, Rav Malami quotes a lot, but the Shmirat Shabbat himself was a student of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and draws very, very heavily on that. And Rav Malami is not limited in that way, so he pulls very, very widely. And the Shmirat Shabbat, in terms of the English, does not have the footnotes in translation, which is a huge disadvantage for somebody who wants to really study the material.
It's pretty amazing. It's Panini Halacha, one of the most popular and useful Halacha series in Israel today, in schools, shuls, and learning groups, known for a clear, concise explanation and organized style. These user-friendly guides offer comprehensive, authoritative halachic works for novice and advanced learners alike. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, he is amazing, as you've heard during this conversation. I thank both Ellie Fisher, the series editor, and Yocheved Cohen, the translator, for joining us. Thank you very much, both of you. Oh, I think we may have lost them. I thank both of them very, very much. And for information about all of this, you can go to the website, korinpub.com. Again, that's korinpub.com. Panini Halacha is published by Magid Books, a division of the venerable Jerusalem Publishing House, Korin Publishers, Jerusalem. Magid offers New Approaches to Jewish Texts and Themes from the World's Leading Rabbis, Scholars, and Philosophers. The series is translated by Yocheved Cohen, edited by Ellie Fisher, and I thank both of them for joining us here today at the Nachum Segal Network. Always treated to an amazing array of great authors and wonderful books on this segment entitled By the Book at the Nachum Segal Network. My thanks again to Magid Books, to Koren Publishers. Check out the website, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. The latest, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed from the Penina Halacha series on Laws of Shabbat, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Pretty amazing. You're listening to the Nachum Segal Network.